Today on Pop Center, Adam Sandler, Bill Cosby, and lots of other terrible things.
Like Caitlyn dating.
Is that really that terrible?
Yeah, well.
If the date goes well, it's not terrible.
Well, we're going to give away a date with you today.
Awesome.
Anything goes.
Yeah. That's today on Pop Center.
This is Pop Center.
This is Pop Center. I'm Tommy West. What? Oh, I have to do the thing.
Yeah.
I have to do the introduction.
Do it right.
Let him say your name.
All right. I'm Tommy West. That's Maxwell.
Hey.
Across from me. And then across from him, also across from me in a triangular pattern, is Caitlin, who's back from her dating extravaganza.
You did a good job. That was good.
Did I?
Yeah.
Did I, though?
Yeah. You did.
Okay. If you guys say so.
I do.
Sorry. Keep it going.
Sorry. Take You There, which is not new necessarily, but it's been stuck in my head for a week this week specifically for some reason. I don't know. I'm into the EDMs. You guys, we've been picking some good songs to start the show.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I'm dancing. I'm grooving.
This was one that took a little bit of us trying to figure out, and I was just yelling at everyone saying no. It'll get better next week. Trust me.
The song picks will?
Yeah, because
we'll be picking
better.
Exactly.
That's what I meant. I was giving you credit. That's what you should.
I
wanted to spell it out.
So first and foremost, Caitlin's back.
Yay.
Yeah. How was the date?
You all know how it went.
We talked about it in detail last show.
I listened.
Well, wait.
You guys called me snooty.
Wait. Well, all right. That's, you're picking.
I forgot why.
You're locking onto the wrong thing.
Because you're talking about Comic-Con speed dating.
Yeah.
And you were like, Caitlin wouldn't do that. No, not at all. And then Tommy was like, no, you said that I was snooty.
I'm saying that's pretty lowbrow dating. I'm calling you highbrow. I'm giving you a compliment.
You. Yes. Thank you.
I like how you just turned it around and went from you insulted her and now you somehow turned it around to her thanking you.
Yeah. That's how it works.
You were out last week to just get everyone up to speed. Yeah, you were on a date. We had some guest host in your place, which was not the second time in a row, right?
It wasn't in a row.
You're just here every other week is the schedule now.
I'll be here next week.
Okay. Yay.
It's not like when Phil, what was his name? Oh, I'm doing it again. Here we go.
What is it?
We're 3 minutes in, man.
What Phil were you who? Saying?
Phil Spector?
No.
Phil Hellmuth?
Phil of the future?
No. The morning
Phil
show.
Phil Hartman.
The morning show.
Regis Philbin.
You
said his first name was Phil? Oh my God.
It's not like he was on he's been on TV lately for me to easily remember that. Give me some credit.
Yeah, but Regis, how do you forget
Regis.
A name?
I don't know. Because he's been off TV for a while. I don't know.
So disappointed in you.
Speaking
of live with whoever. I saw Magic Mike XXL this weekend. And I totally forgot that Michael Strahan had a part in it.
Does he strip?
Yes.
No.
Well, I mean, he had underwear on.
Can I just ask? All right. So, realistically, let's think about this for a moment. Magic Mike XXL, which is the sequel, Ixels, which is the sequel to Magic Mike, is about male strippers.
Yes.
My idea of it is it's like Entourage, but for women. Is that a good?
No, because
just a fantasy camp for women.
I don't really enjoy Entourage.
The movie doesn't focus on the women. The movie focuses on the strippers.
No, that's what I mean.
Then it's catered to women.
That's what I mean. So it's like if you're a guy watching Entourage, it's like, oh, check out all the hot girls that are naked. Is it for women? Like women go in and like, oh, check out all these hunks. Is that what women call?
I mean, you're not going. You know, before you're even like in the middle of watching it, that you're not going for the plot.
I was going, well, I went for the plot.
It's like, all right, if I have to watch like 50 Shades of Grey, I'll watch it because I have to. If my significant other is into it, you do that. Mm-hmm. If you don't go along with your wife or girlfriend or a significant other to watch Magic Mike XXL, that's straight up.
There was
up
a guy on, in.
Like, a guy. There,
yeah. Of the audience members that I could see, mm-hmm. there weren't that many to begin with, but I'm pretty sure that there was only like one guy.
Did you shame him publicly, like when you walked in?
Man, there's a man.
What are you doing?
Get the spotlight. Well, I guess the bigger question is: this is a pretty topical podcast. Magic Mike XXL has been in theaters for quite a little bit.
Yeah, it has.
So, you know, we're pretty much up on the pop cultures. We talk a lot about movies. That's pretty much like 80% of this show. Usually we're into like the newest movies coming out. Why were you seeing Magic Mike XXL in like it's like one of its last weeks in theater?
So this goes into something else that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Was that, have you guys, I know Maxwell has heard of it because I told him, but there's this thing called Movie Pass. Have you heard
of
that?
Yes, I have. It's basically where you can kind of go to the movies as much as you want for like a flat rate.
Right. Okay. Theoretically, you could go see a movie once every 24 hours.
Okay.
And so they had this deal over 4th of July weekend.
What? Like a Groupon?
Or you told you saved like $2 or something?
No, it was like $7.
Okay.
And so, so normally they advertise it as either $30 or $35 a month.
Okay.
Depending on where you live. But then on 4th of July weekend, they had like 20% off. Right. So for me, it's only $28 a month. Bad. Yeah, which is like a little over two movies.
And is only one theater you can go to, or can you go to others?
There actually are a bunch.
You put in your zip code, and it's like all the theaters that I would normally go to anyway.
Okay.
So now I don't care about seeing, like, I'm just going to, like, I like movies, so I'll just
use that movie pass.
Yeah. And so my friend this weekend, actually I saw two movies this weekend, but the second one was Magic Mike, and my friend was like, hey, I want to go see a movie tonight. So I was like, sure, let's go see Ant-Man.
Okay. Oh.
And then she was like, no, I want to see Magic Mike.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay. So, now, normally, if I didn't have Movie Pass, I would be like, no, I'm not spending my money.
Right, because you're not going to lay out your money to see something you really don't necessarily want to see.
Yeah.
Although,
now I'm okay with doing that.
Can
now
you invite, can you bring one person with you with the Movie Pass, or just Movie Pass is good for one?
No, it's just good for the person who has it.
So it's not like if Maxwell wants to date lots of women and take them to movies every weekend,
they'd have to pay for themselves, as they would on most dates.
Right.
The Movie Pass would not, you know, it's not going to work that way.
Before we move away from Magic Mike XXL.
Ixl.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, wait, can I just say that, so my mom, shout out to my mom, even though she doesn't even know how to listen to podcasts.
We'll send her a CD or a cassette.
Yeah. So she said, when I told her that I was going to see it, I think this was after I had seen it. She was like, oh, isn't that, that's with Tatum Channing, right?
Oh, Tommy would get along great with her.
She sounds like a lovely woman.
Lovely lady.
And I was like, no, Mom, it's Channing Tatum. She's like, oh, it sounds better the other way.
Is Phil going to be on the show? The talk show with Phil?
I miss when Phil was the host.
Phil Hotman.
Philman. I have to ask, I don't know why I'm asking, but you know, it's for the listener. So are there any peni in the Magic Mike XXL?
No. That's not for that's for you. Okay. You want to know.
If I'm being honest with myself,
no,
I do.
No, there is not. So there was one scene in it that I actually like hysterically laughed at.
Okay.
And I wish the movie was just that scene, just repeated. It was great.
What was the scene?
Yeah, he just left his hanging.
Are you kidding me?
Well,
there was a scene. It was great. I found it hilarious. Let's next.
So they are, the whole premise of the movie is that they're on their way to a stripper convention in Myrtle Beach.
That exists.
So wait,
that
just to clarify, before you even go any further, it's the exact plot from Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, except instead of security guards, strippers. That's the plot line they're following here.
I'm impressed you know the plot of Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
I wouldn't have been able to connect
that. I did my homework for this show despite what you may think.
That was not a topic of discussion in any podcast we've done.
Sometimes I just brush up on my Paul Blart Mall Cop synopses.
So I know that one, obviously one of the strippers was Channing Tatum.
Yes.
Who? And then one was the guy from The Normal Heart, which was Matt Bomer. Yeah. Who's the other guy?
Joe Manganiello.
Yes.
Known as Sofia Vergara's husband.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they were in this like van driving to Myrtle Beach and they all decide to take Molly. Okay. And then it turns
take
to
Molly
like a,
where?
Funny. Great. I think you know where.
I was waiting for it to pick it up.
And yeah. So they stop at like a gas station. It cuts to like, it says like 54 minutes later. Okay. And then they're at this like convenience store or something. And they're all like freaking out about what they're going to do at this convention. And everybody except Joe, I forget his name in the movie. Whoops. But
Sofia Vergara's husband.
Yes. But so he's like freaking out saying that they can't do it and he's not good enough. And then all the other guys are like, no, like you go into that grocery store and that convenience store, like that cashier looks like she hasn't smiled in months. I bet you would be able to put a smile on her face. And so all of a sudden he's like, no, I can't. Like, and they're like, yes, you can. And so they're like pumping him up. Mm-hmm. And then he walks into the convenience store and then I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys starts playing.
This literally is just it's entourage for women. It's exactly what I expected it to be.
It was great.
Nobody stripped an entourage in a convenience store.
No, my point is it's catnip for women.
He didn't strip. He was just like dancing provocatively and, you know, opening a bag of Cheetos and I don't know. It was just hilarious, though.
So women like this.
They love
this
Cheetos.
Kind of. No, not Cheetos. I'm talking about the men.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. Like, at least we get nipples. You know, like.
Guys, men have nipples.
I know, but I'm saying at least we get nipples in the nudities of the movies.
What?
There's tons of nipples in female-driven movies.
Right, but I'm saying.
Right, Gone Girl.
Oh. All right, I'm just dropping.
You're off
this.
The nip talk. You don't want to talk about this?
No, I don't want to talk about nipples.
We'll bring it back. We'll bring it at the end. We'll talk about the nips.
I'm done with the nipples. Yeah. So you saw Ant-Man as well?
No, I didn't.
Wait,
I saw Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
Oh, why would you waste that?
We already talked about that.
What are you
one.
Talking about?
We already talked about that. But speaking of Ant-Man, since you didn't see it, no. Maxwell,
I was wrong.
Yeah.
My
no,
prediction.
You can't take that away from me. I was supposed to tell you were wrong.
I stole your thunder.
You can't disarm me.
I did. It's,
wait,
I
why
did.
Were you wrong?
I predicted for the past 2 weeks that Ant-Man would make $73 to $74 million.
Yeah.
And it made a disappointing $58 million, which they say is good. I'm sure that's just Marvel spinning.
Well, they're saying like for any other movie, it would be good. But considering that it's a Marvel movie, it did poorly.
Right. But it's also a low budget movie compared to everything Marvel's done. But you could tell they put a lot of money into advertising, more so than other Marvel movies. So I'm pretty sure that they're not going to make as much as they did with other certain ones. But I was wrong. I admit it. And we'll get it right next time.
Well, I think I texted it to you or Facebooked or tweeted something. I did some type of social media's sharing of you. Variety magazine actually did a whole story on exactly what it's like they had it queued up.
Oh, yeah, you did. You sent
which
it
was.
Oh, yeah, I think that was Facebook.
The limitations of Ant-Man or limitations of Marvel.
It was basically saying, all right, so now they did it. They failed. They pulled a we're not infallible.
It's not a failure. It just wasn't really a success.
Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it. All right.
Now, cool. Do you think that was because of the story or because of Paul Rudd?
No, that's nothing to do with the cast. I think the article made a good point of saying that Ant-Man is not a well-known comic book character.
Right.
Nobody knows this person. So it's basically the story. You know, people like what they're used to. You know, people know everything about Superman if you say the word Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Ant-Man, other than he probably looks like an ant. If you told someone who didn't know anything about him, you'd be like, okay, he's...
To be honest, I didn't know anything about Ant-Man.
Right, but if I jump in my opinion, which is it's not necessarily about knowing the character because you had the same issue with Guardians. No one knew Guardians. No one knew any of the characters from Guardians.
Nope.
I think it's being able to understand and connect and likability of what it is. Essentially, Ant-Man is Honey, I Shrunk the Kids meets Spider-Man. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a shrunken superhero, and that's extremely limiting. Where if you you know, Guardians was in space. You know, he's a human. There are other aliens around him. So there's a grounded character. I think there's being able to connect to the audience with
Well, I mean, with that argument, wouldn't you just be like, oh, well, Spider-Man, he what shot webs out of his
fingers? But he's
well known.
That's what I'm saying. Oh. When it, you're either well known, you're either a well known superhero character, or if you're not well known, you need to be able to connect. And and trying to sell Ant-Man to people is the same as how bad it was with Green Lantern, how bad it was with not necessarily in like the same mainstream quote unquote universe was the one with Seth Rogen.
The Green Hornet.
Green Hornet. Like, even that was just kind of like a toss to the side type thing. Because
So now, like, because I feel like there's, you know, now Marvel and whatever, they're trying to think of more characters to make movies out of. Do you think this might, like, hinder them from doing that?
I don't know. I mean, the ball's already rolling on so many things.
I know.
Like, we're still going to get Black Panther no matter what. We're still going to get Doctor Strange no matter what.
Nope.
I'm the same boat,
but they're definitely going to be rethinking what's going to be happening in 2020, which is where they're at right now. Like they're in the next, they're already planning what's happening
in like 2018.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we're already going to get the ones that are planning now, but they'll definitely re-strategize whatever they're going to do. I'm also just realizing this now, there's a lot of sexy names in the title or sexy phrases. Like when you hear Superman, that sounds sexy. Yeah. Batman sounds sexy. Even like
Ant-Man.
Even Guardians of the Galaxy, you have the Guardians, like something that's protecting. When I hear Ant-Man,
It's not a good superhero.
Right. So
name.
if you're hearing someone who has no idea of what superheroes are and you hear someone called something called Ant-Man, you're not really going to care.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it hurt.
Well, I also think, you know, connecting it back there too is, you know, when you had Guardians, Chris Pratt's character, which by the way, keep in mind also, Chris Pratt, you know, he's huge now.
We need a buzzer every time we bring up Chris Pratt. Yeah.
But he wasn't that, I mean, he was, you know, he was growing when he came to Guardians. Like, he was coming off of Parks and Rec. He didn't really have hit things behind him. It was just, oh my God, he's going to be amazing in this, and this is going to be huge, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing is, he was also a human. With this, you're trying to sell kids and adults and everyone on it's a superhero. He's going to put a mask on. He's going to do superhero-y things, and he's not well known. Or at least where Guardians, he wasn't really a superhero. He was just a guy. He only put the mask on every once in a very blue moon. But in every poster, every trailer you saw, he was pretty much just himself. So it wasn't necessarily even a superhero movie. And so that's what I'm saying. So I keep comparing it to that, where it's an unknown, quote unquote, unknown comic genre superhero movie, when in reality, it didn't really come off as a superhero genre movie, more of a space film.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it also comes to the fact that the pedigree of Guardians was much more well received than Ant-Man. I mean, you have a disastrous director, round robin, like musical chairs. It was going to be Edgar Wright, who did Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead. He gets ousted, and then you get a fill-in director with Peyton Reed, who nobody really knows. He directed Yes Man, the Jim Carrey movie. He's done other things, but that's what he's most well known for, which is a bad thing. But he's done, you know, he's a fill-in. He's a fill-in guy. Yeah. It's cool that Adam McKay did a write-up of it, the polish of the script. Mm-hmm. But with Guardians of the Galaxy, you already have a cult fan base with James Gunn, who did Slither. You get a pedigree. You get Joss Whedon approved director.
Yeah.
And they're both collaborative on it.
Yeah.
And I think that helped Guardians get more than what Ant-Man.
It had some street cred.
Pedigree to it, where Ant-Man really had none or lost it when Edgar Wright left the project.
Well, I wanted to touch on that too, because, I really, really like Edgar, and I like his stuff, and I like his style. I love him. Do you think there would have been any difference in this if Edgar Wright
I'd love to think that there would be a more positive outlook and at least maybe 10 million more on the box office.
You think so?
But you never know. I don't know. Edgar Wright fans are not going to tell other people don't go see it because Edgar got ousted. But I don't know. I think it would have helped the box office had Edgar stayed on the entire time. But we would have got a different movie.
Yeah.
It would not have been the movie that it is now. You could tell that Marvel put its Marvelisms into this movie.
Do you think that do you think it would have been as humorous? Because I feel like there's a tinge of humor, and that's what they tried to sell it as.
I think it would have been hilarious. I just don't think the structure, when Marvel saw it, looked like a Marvel movie, and they want that. The minute you break that, the chain's gone. You know, people want what they're used to.
Yeah.
They want to see a Marvel movie, not Edgar Wright's Ant-Man. They want to see Marvel's Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Or Marvel wants people to see Marvel's Ant-Man.
Yeah.
So I think that's really what happened in the long run. and you got what we have now.
Yeah.
Which I haven't seen yet, so I don't know.
Did you get to see Ant-Man?
No, I haven't.
Really? Okay.
I just judged the shit out of it, and wow. I haven't seen it.
Yeah, that's me. Behind the scenes.
We left the show last time talking about, I was supposed to go to a screening. I was supposed to, which would have been
of
perfect. Let me finish.
Sorry.
Now people know I'm that we have turmoil behind the scenes, me and you.
I'm just
no kidding.
Trying to get up to speed.
I'm kidding. No. So last week I mentioned I was going to go see a screening of Pixels. Despite it being everything I would probably hate in a movie. Mm. It's got Adam Sandler behind it.
Yeah, I saw a trailer of it before Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, and it was... Ugh.
So I opted to not... Well, we'll try this. I boycotted the screening. We'll go that way.
Oh, so it's Entourage.
Yeah. I boycotted the screening. I didn't go.
Entourage for nerds.
Yes. But following me not going, I kind of wanted to go for the podcast. I wanted to go see it just so we can talk about it. It's coming out this weekend. After that, I guess it's not really getting well reviewed right now. It's not doing well.
You're surprised?
It hasn't come out.
I'm
not surprised by it. But what's happening now is it's glaringly obvious that a Adam Sandler movie is not going to open.
You don't think it's going to open well?
No, and a lot of critics agree with that. Because in reality, and people, they're also throwing the cobbler into the air, which we've touched on in the past couple of weeks, Netflix Movie Club. But he hasn't really made back the money in domestic theaters for any movies opened in the past like 3 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the golden boy anymore. No. And you know,
he hasn't been for a while.
I guess my point there is, you know, look, he was pretty much making a movie every other year. He made Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2 back to back. Yeah.
But those made money.
They didn't as much as they should have. The thing with Adam Sandler's thing is he makes them on the cheap. He has his own writers do it. And they make well. They do well. But Grown Ups 2 didn't make its money back in theaters. It did?
I thought you're saying it didn't? I thought it did.
I thought it didn't, if you want to check my stats.
I will. Don't you worry.
I'm sure I'm wrong. But, you know, the Cobbler was a mess whenever he tries to do anything dramatic. But when he tries to do his whole, like his formula, the Happy Madison production company formula, it just isn't working well. Magnificent Seven ripoff was the one they're making for Netflix, which is coming out next year.
Yes.
Yes.
Which having the whole Indian racial debacle, which he has now said is like a laugh. Like he's trying to write it off as like a misunderstanding.
He's like, oh, it's a misunderstanding.
He's saying that it's like this movie was for Native Americans.
Yeah. He's like, oh, we're doing we're putting them in a nice light. We're doing well.
Grown Ups 2 had a budget of $80 million and made back $250 million.
Okay. So I was way off.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Gotcha.
They made a ton of money for literally nothing. That $80 million only went to the actors. That went to nothing else.
They didn't pay for the script. It just kind of wrote
that
itself.
Only went to Adam Sandler and Chris Rock. The rest of them didn't get paid.
Yeah.
All did it for free.
Yeah. They like to do that for their friends.
But if you ask me, he doesn't have a good track record. He doesn't, outside of the Grown Ups 2 or anything franchise worthy. But what makes this decision to make Pixels sort of genius is the idea is perfect for both kids and adults. You have a video game aspect injected into a real world fantasy. You have stupid comedy that Adam Sandler fans are going to love. You have video games, which kids are going to love. And you're going to have to bring the parents because you can't go without kids.
Yeah, no, written down and in a marketing and like trying to sell this. Yeah, you're absolutely right. This should be great.
But just thinking about Kevin James as the president.
I'm not saying it's going to be great. I didn't say that.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that he's the president. That's his role.
I'm fairly certain that he is the president in this movie.
Oh, he is. Wow. That's
And I want to say this again. I did not say this was going to be great. I said this is going to make money.
In the room right now, you're playing devil's advocate and trying to stick up for this movie a little bit.
Well, also, I mean, I found out this only a couple days ago. It has a surprisingly really good director in Chris Columbus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who's done the first two Harry Potters. He did Home Alone, Alone 2, Stepmom, which is a surprisingly really sad movie, and really good movie. So, I don't know. I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt that it'll be a stupid, entertaining summer movie. Pixels is what summer is about.
It doesn't look entertaining. It just looks predictable.
Looks pretty. CGI Pac-Man looks awesome.
I do like Pac-Man.
Without being punny, it looks one-dimensional. Like It does. Like the like it's what's the premise? It's okay.
You're expecting a multifaceted Adam Sandler thinker?
No, what I'm saying, like it's too dumb for it's even too dumb for a summer blockbuster.
Like that's, it's not that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever okay. heard you say. You, ever.
Here's the thing.
It's too dumb okay. for a blockbuster.
Okay.
Sorry, it's not Inception.
No, I'm saying, all right, everything you said was correct. It will definitely do well with the cross-generational mom and dad bringing the kids to the theater.
Yeah.
But I think the truth of the matter is whether I'm right or wrong, everyone wants to see him fail at this point. Not everyone, but a lot of people want to see Adam Sandler just tank. They want to see
the, he's the LeBron James of movies.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good way of putting it.
Okay. But sooner or later, he's going to win a championship and then he's going to win people over.
I don't think he'll ever win anything other than a Razzie. That's pretty much, he is like the king of the Razzies.
Yes.
But yeah, it's kind of redunculous that he keeps getting money to make things.
Yeah.
And even the Sony leak, when all the emails came out, there were a lot of emails in there about how demanding and ridiculous he was. So
the last successful movie he's done outside of the Grown Ups franchise, which has surprisingly done very well, and there will be a third.
Oh, no.
Looks like it was Zohan.
Okay, right. So
and even Zohan wasn't really a hit.
All right. So I know I missed on Grown Ups. What were the other ones that he did miss on? There were a few flops in there.
Oh, there are tons. So okay, many. Blended with Drew Barrymore, where he goes to some foreign country and because he wanted to go on vacation.
Yeah.
That's My Boy with Andy Samberg, which might have been the worst movie I've ever seen. Jack and Jill, which weirdly starred Al Pacino.
Yeah.
Just Go With It, which is blended, but with Jennifer Aniston instead of Drew Barrymore.
Yep. Wait. Also, there's someone else in there. Just Go With It.
Brooklyn Decker.
Yeah.
Where is she now?
Again, this is my point. He does that thing where he just casts really hot women next to him.
Smart
just
man.
So he can make out with them.
Yeah.
But it's creepy. I know guys like that.
Eric, we're studio executives right now. Tommy, what's this movie about? I don't know, man. Hey. No, just put a hot woman on the trailer for 2 minutes. We're good. Let's go to lunch.
Can I make out with Brooklyn Decker?
Nice.
Oh,
that was good. That was good. Zohan was after that. Then Bedtime Stories, which I don't even know what that is, but it made $212 million.
Bedtime Stories was dark. A lot darker than I expected. Like Click. You know how Click was dark without realizing it was going to be dark?
Yeah. Click was his most successful movie, like, recently.
Okay.
And maybe I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry, which looks like it made decent money.
Yeah.
That was so long ago.
It was. That came out in 2007. Jeez. Good year.
Wow.
8 years ago.
But yeah, we do not get the old Adam Sandler that we are used to. But even those didn't make that much money. Like Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, they did not make that much money, but they are his best movies.
Right.
Right. Yes.
So I'm not saying Pixels is a return to form for Adam Sandler, nor will we see one anytime soon, but eventually.
Closer.
What?
Closer. A little bit.
Eventually, I think we will see it. And maybe he needs to get back with Paul Thomas Anderson and do another serious movie. That'd be kind of cool.
What is the Mr. P.T. Anderson working on? Is he working on anything?
I don't know what he's working on now, but me and Caitlin both differ on Inherent Vice and our
what
opinions
do you mean
on it.
We really? Differ.
Oh, you didn't like
I
that
didn't
much?
Like
okay,
it.
Then we do agree.
Yeah.
Sorry. I thought we disagreed on that one. I don't know what he's working on now, but I hope he comes out with something soon.
Yeah, it's been. I don't like the fact that it's been too long for my. Here's the thing: Inherent Vice wasn't long ago, but but it's been a while since I liked anything that Paul Thomas Anderson did. So, like when people ask me, like, "Oh, who's your favorite director?" I always go, "Oh, P.T. Anderson." Like, but I think there's been so many things that I don't like from him now that I have to kind of change that answer.
I'm not gonna. We've had this talk before, so I'm not gonna dive into this again. But you're wrong. So we don't have enough time.
What else is going on in Popsicle Cultures?
Popsicle Cultures?
Popsicle Cultures of the weeks.
So much stuff. So much stuff.
People are definitely turning on True Detective now.
Oh, now that, and that's finally, it's the it's wave like the, has finally crashed in.
Yeah. It's been, I think, what, like 4 or 5 episodes?
Mm-hmm.
5 episodes, I think. And now people are like, wow, this is boring.
Yeah.
I don't care about any of the characters.
I remember I tried to get back into it. I saw one scene of Vince Vaughn looking at a stain on his on the roof or on his ceiling. Mm-hmm. And like, I just remember I was zoned out for like a minute and he was still in the same exact spot.
Yep.
Talking about the same exact thing. I'm like, what is going on?
I saw somebody posted today on Facebook. It was from like GQ or something, but it was the True Detective drinking game. And I want to see if I can find it. Hold on.
Talk amongst yourselves. Every time there's brooding, you drink. Every time someone fake dies, you drink. Every time you think you see Matthew McConaughey in the background, you drink.
Here we go. It's loading. Hold on.
No, I'm going to hold. I'm going to wait.
Oh, jeez.
I'm liking this.
While you guys are waiting, you should check out thisispopcenter.com.
Lots okay, cool wait.
It's a website?
That's a website.
Okay, now that you've looked at our website, it is every time Vince Vaughn scrunches up his eyes in existential dread. Every time Vince Vaughn looks like he smells a fart. And then there's like GIFs with it. And it's Giffies? Like, yeah, that GIFs. Yeah. Every time Rachel McAdams whips out her e-cigarette.
Mm. Wait, I don't watch this show and you're telling me she smokes an e-cigarette?
Yes.
It's
like her crutch.
She's okay, conscious of the environment.
Every time Colin Farrell touches his hair, which is a lot. Like, you would not be able to survive.
I did enjoy the impromptu beatdown in the first episode of that kid's father. That was entertaining. That came out of nowhere.
Every time, or, well, I guess, when everybody out-acts Vince Vaughn. And then it says, when the freeway out-acts everybody. Just like, just a shot of the freeway.
This just brings up my point, man. It's just
every time Taylor Kitsch says the word bike.
Bike.
He says, bike? Which I thought actually he says fuck a lot. Like in one episode, I was talking to.
I've been good. I haven't cursed in two shows.
I
know.
I'm just saying.
No, you can curse.
That
no.
I've been good about it.
Here's the thing. I was going to get off track, but the podcast is on an episodic basis. Rated as to whether it's explicit or not.
Oh.
And usually it's always, of course we are. Yep. Maxwell spoke.
But I've been good.
But he's been good. So we've been a clean podcast for like three episodes.
Not anymore.
She fucked it up.
Wow. Okay. Letting him drop.
Fuck.
Oh, okay. Don't overdo it now.
It's already explicit.
But no, Taylor Kitsch says that word a lot.
Really? That word.
More so than Mike.
Potty mouth Caitlin.
You made me self-conscious about it.
Tommy did it to me earlier. That's why I've been good. Yeah. Mother flipping good.
Are we done with the? I had a tune out.
Yeah.
I had a tune out a bit because I haven't watched it. So, and I want to watch it.
Don't.
I have to. Okay. Two things or three things actually from thisispopcenter.com that we have to talk about. Number one. So last week after the podcast, this is a little bit of older news, but it updates. You had Amy Schumer's Star Wars themed GQ spread, which did you see this? Have you seen this?
They were not approved to do that.
That's the update. So Disney was, I don't know how this happened. Like, how do you, like, you can't go in Times Square wearing outfits that are very explicitly something without someone,
a brand
without someone coming after you, like Disney saying, no, you can't dress up like Mickey Mouse. Which is why they all dress up like Sesame Street, because it's public, you know, it's public television and they don't have lawyers apparently. So, but Disney came out and said, yeah, we did not agree to this at all. How does Amy Schumer get away with doing the photos?
Like, how many people did that spread have to go through and be approved for?
Yeah.
And then now that it's published, Disney is like,
that's what I mean. Like, when it came out, we were kind of like, oh, okay. I mean, this is pretty raunchy for Star Wars, for Disney to do. Because, like, she has, like, a photo of her in bed naked with C-3PO and R2-D2. And then there's another photo of, the cover photo was her with C-3PO's finger in her mouth. I'll give them credit. It was all creative. But the idea is, like, did they actually just go out and buy, like, realistic, like, things from the movie?
How do you even get that?
Yeah.
They probably stole it from the porn parody, Star Wars.
Is there a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a real thing.
How do you know that?
There's a porn parody of everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Everything. Literally everything.
Bob's Burgers. There's a porn parody
of that.
There was a burlesque show in Brooklyn earlier this year of Bob's Burgers.
There's a porn parody of American Dad. There's one of Family Guy. There's one of The Simpsons.
This is going indie route before I come back out of indie world for you, Maxwell, and for you, Caitlin,
and
Film
me.
School Caitlin. Chris Evans school is Caitlin. Doing his directorial debut.
I'm sorry. Oh, are you trying to say Chris Pratt and just having trouble?
No, Chris Evans.
Oh,
ding.
You know, the guy who, I almost swear to God, I almost just said he played the flamer.
Oh my God.
No, the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I know what you meant. I met you there.
He's directing a movie.
Cool.
I watched Snowpiercer this weekend also.
Is that a non sequitur or is that somehow connected?
It's way off. Chris Evans is in that.
Oh, but. Yeah.
That is not way off.
I just want to interject. Because
I didn't know Chris Evans was in that. So I'm just like, where'd that come from?
He's like the main guy.
I didn't see Snowpiercer. He told
like
us
it.
On numerous episodes.
What? No, I hated it.
Oh, no.
I was like, this is so stupid.
When we first started doing this podcast, I was pimping that movie out.
I know. I remember.
Every week.
That's why I like.
Yeah,
we're gonna talk about this later because right. I gotta know why I didn't like it. That's crazy.
But no, he makes a directorial debut, which basically the movie, from what I get from the trailer, is he's hanging out at Grand Central Station here in New York, which is beautiful, by the way, and Alice Eve is just hanging out there too, but she lost her purse. Which is a situation I'd love to get in, because I love me some Alice Eve. What is that groan?
Because it's so, like, how women loses their parents.
Damsel in distress. So,
well, yeah. That's
clumsy the, me. Well, but if all right, if you exactly. lost your... All right, no, it's a serious question. So that's the plot of the movie is she loses her purse, he befriends her in Grand
they
Central
fall
Station.
In love.
Yeah, they do fall in love, but that's that. We'll get to there. But that's the whole setup of the movie, is she loses her purse. And
sounds like
help.
A short movie.
Number one... There's no one else in Grand Central Station. It's implied that it's almost closed.
People.
Right. Which I'm like, they close at like 1 o'clock in the morning. So what time is it? Because they also spend the rest of the night together, too. It's like, nothing's open like this. Yeah, it's New York City. There's like hot dog stands open, but you're not going to go to like
Penn Station. That's open. That's open 24/7.
Yeah. Port Authority.
Port Authority. Yeah, all these fun mass transit buildings.
So, wait, Caitlin, as a woman, let's say you're out in New York.
You didn't say that right. You got to go. So, Caitlin, as a woman,
yeah. Imagine you're a woman.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a little hard, but I think I can do it.
Imagine you're a woman and you're in New York City, which is where we live.
Yes.
And you don't live in New York City. You live outside New York City. You live in New Jersey, let's say. And you lose your purse and you're at Grand Central Station.
Trying to get to New Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what do you do? You lost your purse. You have no phone, no money, nothing. You're just a person.
I ask somebody if I can, if I can use their phone to call somebody or get an Uber. Well, not Uber.
You can't get
actually, that would be great if I can use somebody's phone.
Uh-huh.
To get an Uber, and then I wouldn't have to pay for it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But anyway.
So what do you do? And Chris Evans is not there.
Yeah.
I would go up to somebody and ask them if I could.
Just any random person?
Yeah. If I could call somebody, I would just need to call somebody.
Who would you
call?
I'm trying to understand this movie in real life. Who do you call? Because in the trailer, there's a scene where she does get to a payphone, which, by the way, a payphone, really? She gets to a payphone. They find a quarter. Apparently, Chris Evans is poor. He doesn't have a cell phone. They get to a payphone. They allow her to make one phone call, and she calls someone.
Jail.
But who do you call?
Who did she call?
I don't know. I didn't see the movie yet. that's the big reveal.
I would probably just call a friend. That I knew lived in the city.
Smart.
Okay. So, but there's where you're going for is you have to call a friend who lives nearby.
Right.
What if you don't have any friends in the city?
Well,
what do you do?
What would I do? What would you do, John? Maxwell.
You know what I do.
He'd sell his body.
Sell my body right off the bat. I still have my wallet with me. I'm just going to sell myself. See what I can get.
I'm just saying, if you're Alice Eve and you're lost, it's not that hard to find someone with a cell phone to ask. And I'm sure, like, through the entire movie, they're in New York City.
She's very pretty. I'm sure random people went up to her saying, I'm sorry, do you need my cell phone? Are you okay? That would never happen to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
well, this is a movie.
I understand that, but there's a little bit of believability you need in a movie. But anyway, yes. It's also just exciting to see, you know, Chris Evans.
What's it called?
It's called Before We Go.
I like that.
Yeah. You don't even have to go anywhere. It's going to be on iTunes and on demand.
That's going
to
be like my last.
Oh, wait, no, it's available now. It's available as we speak.
Wow. Let's go watch it.
Well, you have
Netflix
to buy
movie
it. No, you have to buy it.
Can't do that.
It's more of like a $9.99 movie club.
Oh, okay.
That's, or something.
It's a more exclusive club.
But it's funny. It's actually on iTunes now, or you can wait to see it in theaters in September. I don't know that backwards.
That how much backwards. Is it on iTunes?
I don't know.
Probably around $9.99.
And then the last thing I want to talk about that was on the website was Judd Apatow was on The Tonight Show.
Mm-hmm.
Which one? I can't keep track of them anymore. I don't know
who's
hosting. Okay.
Okay. He was on Jimmy Fallon, and he did a bit, which is up on the website. He did what you'd kind of expect. So the backstory here is Judd Apatow, he started in the clubs. He started doing comedy, stand-up. He actually knew Adam Sandler back when they started in Long Island. So this is like the first time him returning to do stand-up comedy, which he did on The Tonight Show. Of course, some of the basic stuff he did. He's an ugly old guy, lives with his women and blah, 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 and those type of things. But the funnier one was he went right at Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a joke about Bill Cosby because Bill Cosby is still out touring, still doing Bill Cosby stand-up comedy. And he's like, well, how does that work? And like, what kind of jokes is he telling? And he starts telling a joke about how, you know, Bill Cosby would be whimsically making a joke about hiding his rape allegations from his wife by stealing the newspaper. So it's funny. The delivery is really good. And
can we hear it? We should be able to listen to it.
Oh, you want to listen to it?
I mean, we should.
We could do that.
Not that I don't love you trying to explain what someone doing on stand-up is.
Well, now that I explained everything that happened.
You didn't explain it that well. I don't
recall. It's all in the delivery.
I didn't hear that good of delivery.
All right. Let's get this ready here. So, yeah, here's Judd Apatow. Apatow? Apatow or Apatow?
I think it's Apatow.
On The Tonight Show. This is also on thisispopcenter.com. It'll load eventually.
Or thisispop.center.
Wait, what?
You said I can do that. I can abbreviate it and I'll still get to the website.
Oh, I guess. Technically, yes.
This is dot.
Cosby is still out on the road. Isn't that weird? He's like doing stand-up. What do you think his act is like? Do you think he's still talking about it? Yeah, you think he like says like, you ever been in trouble with the wife? Get into the doghouse with the wife. You're in the doghouse with the wife because of something that you did. Like the other day, there was something about me in the paper, and I didn't want my wife to read the paper. So I got up at 5 a.m. and I snuck out to the driveway to get the paper. And I hid the paper, and the next day I got up and I hid the paper. And then the next day, I forgot to get the paper. And my wife, she said to me, what is this in the paper about the raping and the drugging and the women? And I said, do you like your life?
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, he went right at it. And the thing is, too, like, people have done it, like, if you really remember how this whole story started, how it like re-entered the zeitgeist, it was, and I forget the comedian's name, but he did a joke about it.
Hannibal Buress.
Was it Hannibal?
Yeah.
So he did a joke on stage and like flat out went at him. Like, does everyone not remember that he raped a bunch of women?
Yeah.
And everyone's like, whoa, slow down. What are you talking about?
And that oddly really helped his career.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's doing well. And then now that's all everyone's talking about. It's like one of the biggest entertainment news stories of 2015.
And they called back one episode of The Cosby Show where apparently he had a hand in writing this scene or this show. He has special barbecue sauce or a barbecue recipe that makes the kids sleepy.
Oh, God.
And he explains to someone else on the show, like, you know, you ever notice that I can't do a Cosby bill?
You ever notice that the kids get sleepy after?
Thank you. And that's what it is. He literally explains it, what he does. Like, he has special barbecue sauce that makes kids sleepy.
Foreshadowing.
Wow.
Yeah.
You think he still makes that barbecue sauce?
I don't know if it's foreshadowing if he was doing it at the time. Like, what is that called? Like,
it's more like red flag.
Like red flag in his own, like, you know, giving other people fair warning of what's going on.
I
want to
do an episode about so I'm pretty sure he was in the barbecue and make the kids eat it.
Oh, God. So, yeah.
Where'd you get that idea? Life. All right.
Terrible.
All right, Bill.
Yeah, so he's it's creepy,
but it's just kind of funny because it all started with Hannibal just doing that one bit,
yeah,
where people were like, people posted it online, like, oh my god, look what he did, and it's like, yeah, no, but
I'm sure people thought he was making a joke. People thought it wasn't really. He was just like yeah. messing around, like making a rear Bill Cosby joke about something that didn't happen.
Yeah, right.
And it actually does.
And then now everything has just been unraveling for his entire career. So, it's yeah, it's kind of funny, but. You know, comedians have been poking fun at this, and it's the kind of the first time, and it's shocking because it's Judd Apatow. He's known for being a director. He's not known for being a stand-up, but he went up there and he nailed it on national TV. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's one of those things. Is it like this generation or this decade's OJ thing?
It could be. I don't know.
Because here's what OJ is. If you look back and you know, I always like look at Saturday Night Live back then. We were talking about Norm MacDonald doing the stuff about an update about OJ. It's back then you had, it's like, oh, he's walking free and we all think he did it, but he's walking free. He's a free man. And this is like Bill Cosby. It's like we all believe or know he did it. It's just he's walking free. There's nothing we can do.
Except joke about it, which everyone does. So yeah, I guess he sort of is that way.
Yeah, in that sense.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right, are we doing Netflix Movie Club?
Yeah.
Should I play the theme song?
Do it.
Again?
Here we go.
Here we go. And that's right. We don't have a theme song. I forgot.
We're gonna get one. As soon as we get some money.
What note was that?
What I was gonna
that
do
was the dial tone.
I was about to
go into my song. I had a good one.
Yeah. What was it?
No, I won't do it.
I was gonna say, I was gonna take you singing the Netflix Movie Club theme song last week and put it on this week.
I missed it.
Yeah, you missed it. It was really good.
That was very British sounding of you.
I missed it. I'll miss the club.
So what was this week's movie club?
It was the M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, it sounds delicious.
Underrated early movie, Unbreakable, with Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson.
I love Unbreakable's Kimmy Schmidt.
No, it's not. It's not Kimmy Schmidt. It's
it's not?
It's Unbreakable.
Oh.
M. Night Shyamalan.
You said to watch Unbreakable.
Just Unbreakable.
So I typed in Unbreakable on Netflix, and that was the first thing that came up.
You saw the bright colors of
Kitty
Schmidt.
Yeah.
Kimmy Schmidt.
Had kind of the same sense of humor as 30 Rock for some reason.
Yeah, it did.
And I liked it.
Yeah. So, Tommy, you did not watch Unbreakable.
I did. I watched Unbreakable. Unbreakable?
No. The one from the movie club. The one with Bruce Willis.
I did not know that this was the movie because nobody bothered to tell me.
Oh, thanks for listening to the podcast.
You're on a date. Sorry.
Wait a second. No. We already discussed this. You listened to the podcast when you were away.
I listened to the part of the podcast that was about me.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
What was it I was saying last week about you being vain and snooty?
You didn't say vain.
Probably snooty. Think this podcast is about you.
I'm kidding.
You listened to the whole thing up to when he announced with the podcast.
Yeah.
the video was going to be
Movie Club.
And then I stopped.
Netflix Movie Club. Okay. All right. So you guys didn't watch it, apparently.
No.
Great. I did.
I think I had.
You didn't. You watched. Probably watched Kitty Schmidt.
Kimmy Schmidt.
Whatever.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Kitty Schmidt.
I like Kitty Schmidt better.
Kitty Schmidt.
Kitty Schmidt. So I think we should extend it a week you two schmoes didn't watch it.
All right. We'll
Unbreakable.
But I'll tack another one on top.
Double homework?
It's going to be double homework because I know that people who listened probably listened and did a good job, but you guys didn't.
I will say there was someone who's new to listening to the podcast who reached out and said that they do not like the fact that they don't like our podcast assigning homework to them.
Oh, well, they can stop listening.
I wouldn't see it as homework.
Yeah.
There's worse things for us to assign you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
I think the gist of where this all started was the idea was we as a podcast hosting group
would discuss it.
We watch it and we discuss it. And if you've seen it, you saw it. If you didn't see it, you can still like enjoy what we're talking about.
Right.
But the problem is us as co-hosts never actually watch the
movie. Do.
I know you're in charge of it.
I'll watch it.
You have that.
Sometimes I just think you don't take me seriously. And
With it that hurts. Theme song.
Yeah. Theme song's hard to know. All right. It's not
all right, fine. I'm going to tack on top of Unbreakable. We're going to stick with the dark theme and we're going to add Nightcrawler.
Awesome. I already saw that.
Well, you're going to watch it again.
It's cheating.
Jake Gyllenhaal and Rene Russo are in this thriller, if you can call it, a paranoid thriller, where he chases accidents and tries to film it for money.
There was kind of a real life case of that recently.
Yes. Someone got arrested, I think, for doing that, right?
Well, they didn't know what to charge the guy with. He broke. There was a car accident. A bunch of kids were screwing around about down by the train tracks, and then they got their car in an accident. And so the guy went over to the car to videotape them being almost dying, and one kid died. And unfortunately, there's no law against not helping, despite what Seinfeld may lead you to believe. Mm-hmm. There's no good Samaritan law. You can absolutely just videotape people dying. But he broke into the car, so they just charged him with that.
Come on.
Damn. It's cold.
It's like unlawful.
Well, this movie is just like that, and it's dark, and people are going to love it. Yeah. So Unbreakable and Nightcrawler.
Mm. Got it.
Homework, people.
Yep.
Homework.
Written down.
Kimmy Schmidt.
Kitty Schmidt.
Kimmy.
Kimmy.
I'm out of here.
Written by Tina Fey.
I'm out of here. I'm not dealing with you schmoes anymore.
And we're done.
Movie club.
We have to do the thing where we tell people how to follow us. So guess we, like... The idea
you have to do it, though.
Well, because here's the idea, is that we've gotten this far together.
Yes.
And now they're like, you know what? I like these guys. I want to keep listening to what they have to say.
If you're a cute film student, definitely follow me.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
This is very aggressive. Propositioning.
I have to say, that's pretty direct. Oh. I think that might work. If you are a cute guy, what's your ideal guy?
She just said it.
I'm gonna go further.
Cute film student.
No, they can be a little nerdy.
5'4", lightish, nerdy. Darkish hair.
Okay.
Darkish hair. I was gonna say now. Tall, like, but anybody's like taller than me, so.
Well, how about this? This is what we'll do this week. When we post this podcast on the website, there's always like a photo that go with it. It's like usually if we talked about Ant-Man, we'd post the photo from Ant-Man. So why don't this week we post a photo of you right on the website?
No.
It already happened. This podcast already happened. People are listening to this. So it already happened. It's up. And there's
I regret this.
It's like a dating profile photo of you as the main photo.
When Comic-Con rolls around, she will be doing the Comic-Con speed dating and we will be getting feedback from her.
All right. Yeah.
Yes. Think of your costume.
Oh, man.
All right. I'll
think of it.
All right. I'm at Gotham Tommy on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and the Snap of Chats. You're Alt Maxwell.
Oh, you did it. Oh, I'm so happy.
I'm saying you. See, I didn't even do it right.
You did it.
But why do I have to introduce you?
He said you're, and he didn't, like, people wouldn't know.
I could have been talking about Caitlin.
Talking to you.
You want me to do it?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. This has been a great show, guys. Thank you so much.
Stop lying.
You can reach me at Alt Maxwell on Twitter and Instagram. Tommy is at Gotham Tommy on Twitter. And Caitlin, who is now back for a stunning run of 1 week, you can reach her at Kate Press on Twitter.
Yes.
You just cut me off?
No.
You just cut my mic off. No. I thought you were about to do that.
I was good.
See?
I get bored and press buttons.
Yeah, I know you do. I see it.
Okay. Did you announce your...
I did it for her.
I did it.
Yeah, I know, but it sounds better.
You're supposed to do.
Right, but it sounds better when she does it.
No, it doesn't.
At Kate Press. That is CAITPRESS.
I'm sorry.
Is it on Twitter?
Spell it.
That's Twitter, on Twitter.
I said
Instagram.
It's on Twitter.
And Match.com.
No.
Okay, no? Plenty of fish?
No. None.
None?
I'm walking out the door.
None of fish? All right. We'll see you next week. Bye.